This is Duff Watkins, host of the AmCham Business Podcast. You know all the people that I interview on the podcast, the CEOs, the ambassadors, the consul generals, the overseas dignitaries. You can actually meet them if you come to AmCham events. That's where I met them. AmCham is the oldest, largest, most prestigious chamber of commerce in Australia. Why don't you think about joining? Go to the website, find out more. It's amcham.com.au.
Welcome to the business podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce in Australia. AmCham business podcasts are hosted by Dr. Duff Watkins. Duff is a director of Exec Search International, an author, and is also on the AmCham Council of Governors. AmCham, bringing business to you.
Hello and welcome to the business podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce in Australia. AmCham, bringing business to you. Today we dive deep into the vast untapped talent pool of veterans, that is, former military personnel joining the workforce. My name is Duff Watkins. I'm the host on the AmCham Business Podcast, and today our guest is Tom Moore, Managing Director of With You, With Me, the company that harnesses the power of veterans for your company's benefit. And today you will hear why Australian veterans could be one of the best hires you'll ever make. You'll discover the misconceptions that people have, and I mean you, have about veterans, and you'll learn how an Australian startup company is harnessing the talent of veterans and developing them for success in your company. Hi, Tom. Welcome to the program.
Thanks, Duff.
Well, Tom, I know your personal story is very tied up to this business, so can I ask you to tell the listeners your story?
Yeah, look, I spent about 8 years in the Australian Army. A gunner in the infantry corps for that whole time as a soldier and then an officer, including a tour to Afghanistan. On return to Afghanistan, though, I spent a lot of time in human resources internal to the Australian military. And one of those jobs, when I got injured significantly at the time, was outplacement. And I ended up within probably 12 months terminating about 420 people from the Australian Defence Force. And at that point in time, I realised that we were doing a lot of standardised programs, but it wasn't enough. Unfortunately for me, I couldn't get through the medical downgrade that I'd faced because of the injury I sustained. And then I had to transition myself. And as part of that process, I saw the challenge firsthand. So from the side of outplacement on my side, the challenges that you face when you transition. And simply put, one thing is we don't know what we can do next, so therefore we can't sell. We don't understand how most of the professional entry is done by word of mouth referral. And finally, Australian industries, although welcomes veterans in a way, doesn't understand what jobs they should go into or really translate your experience or skills. So what that sort of led to was me sitting down with a bunch of friends 2 years ago and whiteboarding a solution to connect the dots.
Okay, Tom, let me ask you straight up. Why would a corporation hire an ex-military person?
I think because they're completely competitive. One of the things I saw in industry when I transitioned was that, you know, a lot of things are similar. The project management methodologies and problem-solving techniques that good leading companies have used for the last 30, 40 years are based off military strategy. Prince 2 is very similar to the way we run appreciation and problem solving. Agile is a variation of Prince 2. Agile on the ground for a combat commander is exactly how we apply things, because if we don't constantly reprioritize and issue orders, more people can die than they used to. So I found a lot of transferable skills in terms of specific credibility. The two things that I find is that they're an injection of leadership and values and loyalty that some companies and my generation don't have as much anymore, because it's generally more about yourself. The second thing is that they can work in specific categories that industry requires. They are a junior NCO is an effective, so a junior non-commissioned officer or a soldier is an effective project manager. They just need to do an IT symbol, you know, an IT amplification. Junior officer is a great change consultant, a great management consultant. And soldiers and officers with the right mentality are really resilient salespeople that are very good at acquisition. So we've actually found that you can get a really good return on investment by grabbing this talent, because they're trained in millions of dollars and they're just sort of going unused and underutilized in Australia.
And can I confirm that with my own personal experience? I run an executive search firm, so I hire senior business executives or recruit them for companies. And in my experience, former military people are the most well-trained, best talented, most disciplined employees you can find. And one of the things I really like about them, Tom, is they have that ability to achieve through established channels of communication. In other words, they don't rock the boat, they don't make waves, they just get on with the job. And I've learned as much from military people as I suppose as they have learned from me. So basically, I'm just saying I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think a key point, and I think you really hit the nail on the head there, the best thing about this is that you can chuck them into a new environment and we'll figure out a way to win that engagement, whatever that engagement is. And that doer where, yes, we need someone to just action for something to occur. Most military people have experienced it constantly and apply it every single day. And for me, that's refreshing in industry. And I think that should be facilitated and enabled rather than just said, oh, well, now you're talking a little bit too aggressively.
Now, wait a minute, though. Wait a minute. Don't most returning servicemen and women have issues? Aren't they deeply traumatized? I mean, I've seen movies, Tom. I mean, I watch TV. I know that all these returning veterans have post-traumatic stress disorder. I mean, Hollywood wouldn't lie to me, would they?
No, and look, I guess the point is that we do have members that get exposed to and do have mental health problems. But in comparison to the majority of those transitioning and those in the military, it is very small. 60% of people leaving the Australian military, so out of about 5,500 a year, are just resigning. They have no issue. They're actually very resilient. We actually apply a process of resilience training, mental health coaching. Every time we come back from a deployment, we're reintegrated and we process it. I think that's a message that probably needs to step aside. I think the message is really simple. What do you want to do? What is your new purpose? And then how does that equate to something in industry, so a career title? And then finally, how do we connect that to a labour market outcome? Because at the moment, because of, I guess, of that perception, to some speak, and our own education through social media that we all need a hand or we all have a mental problem, is affecting our ability to get employed to the point where, you know, one in two people are probably underemployed because maybe we're at risk. I think the equation is that we do have a percentage of people that have issues and have gone through a lot, and we do support them through that. But the majority of them are performing individuals.
Yes. Once again, I've been fooled by Hollywood and the media because I used to work in psychiatry, and I was joking about that earlier. Former veterans have no more mental problems than anybody else in society. They just have more grit and resilience, as you were pointing out. So how successful are these veterans at transitioning from the military to the civilian life?
If you look at just employment, not too bad. But if you look at valued, meaningful employment or underemployment, not that well. That's not due to the motivation of the individual, I don't think. It's due to a lack of a network, a lack of what I can actually do, and a lack of understanding. At the moment, our process isn't that successful, and that's why it's become a national sort of issue, where you probably find that some of the cases of post-traumatic stress disorder are probably really depression caused by coming out for a few years and not finding a way and getting isolated. And that's the reason why I created With You, With Me, With My Team, where we saw a gap. And the gap is really essential. If these people are high-performing problem solvers, then why don't we just give them the intelligence so they can action their own plan and give it to them whilst they're still in the military? So rather than just focus on the Australian Defence Force's strategy at the moment, for most people, which is just a two-day seminar about a week out from transition, we'll get you 12 months out, 6 months out, even 2 years out, take you through our program, find out what you want to do, find your purpose, upskill you so you meet industry standards and become highly competitive, and then test you in a few jobs whilst you're still in so you can actually nail that down. And then I think you'll find transition is, you know, more successful.
A young man or woman leaving the military, or for that matter, an older person leaving the military, what's the typical transition process like? You mentioned the difference between the generations, and there is a difference between an older person leaving the military and a younger person.
Yep. The Department of Veterans Affairs is trying to make some changes, and that'll occur, but I think it's a bit slow at the moment. But generally, the majority of people getting out that have done under 12-year service, so they're generally just resigning, 7.5-year service is the majority, so about 3,800 people a year, really just get a two-day seminar. They also now get an option for LinkedIn and resume training, but as you would understand in your background, if you don't understand what job you're applying for, you can't adjust your LinkedIn or your resume. So therefore, it's a sort of an outlay that doesn't make any sense. That needs to change. Most career transition, if a company went and massive downsize of, you know, that many people a year, 2 days probably wouldn't cut it in the, you know, in media, in the public sector. We gave them 2 days training, good luck. And it is focused on compliance. We need it to change that. If your only process is 2 day seminar, and these are the services that you can apply, this is how Veterans Affairs work, and you should probably do some financial counselling. Most of the people turn up not impressed, unmotivated, and probably leave halfway through the day. And what you'll find is it's generally not within the first year that they have any trouble, or the second year, but 3 years down the track, when they're doing an undervalued job or they're underutilised labour, they start to get depressed. And then that becomes a social, national, economic problem, more so because of the strain that it puts.
Let me ask you about your company, With You, With Me. You describe it as a tech startup. Can you tell me more about that?
It's a bit of both. It's a human services company and a and a technological startup. Long term, I wanted a lot of it to be tech. But to get anything to work in recruiting, and it requires high touch sales, especially with veterans, we've had to put a big human element on it, which is working with HR and building that business on the side end. So companies aren't utilizing it the way out that we envisaged at the start, which was, I'm going to develop people and you're just going to advertise jobs. We realized that we needed to educate industry first. So that requires a big sales team in another respect, HR consultants to show them, one, how does this work with your workforce planning? And two, what does a good veteran at Charter Hall Striker look like in Australia? And nail that down. And long term, we want that to be a fully connected system where we can step back from. So the tech aspect is really at the candidate management side at the moment, where you can access this technology anywhere. It's completely free software as a mentee or a mentor. And a mentee are those people that are transitioning. We've built a profiling tool instead of psychometrics. And the key tech aspect is, once you've profiled your personality, we then attach a skills algorithm to allocate your units of competency or your actual industry skills along three different levels, basic, intermediate, advanced, that then respond and give you 10 career pathways. And then from there, you connect to a mentor, and that's when the process begins. So the test activist is really the connection to a network, the identifying of a pathway, and then upskilling programs. Where the human services side in is that in the human resources environment that's highly competitive, we still need to get a foot in the door, build a workforce solution for a company, and then show them the veteran fit. Long term, because I've built that solution, I will then integrate that into a white box program for a company to utilize so it can become a full tech process.
So, and the idea, if I understand it, is to develop a talent pool, or I should say a pool of talented people, that will essentially make it easier for companies to recruit?
Correct. So essentially, we work with business to find out what they need. Then from there, we work with business to find out what a veteran fit is. So what the veteran profile you should be hiring. Should I be hiring a junior combat NCO that has this personality to do sales, for example? We figure all that out. Then from there, we show them the skills gap that they already have for that role against their selection criteria. So they go, wow, they're actually only missing one or two things. How long does it train someone in to do those one or two things? Or only a few days. So then what it then becomes is, how many of these people do you want to employ in the next 6 to 12 months? And they go, we might want to employ five. So what we do is we throw five veterans that are currently serving in the military and build a specific training solution for that company. So then we have five people developing as a candidate for Striker in the case of operations. And then at the other end, they go, wow, we've got a candidate pool that has an internal referral because we've got a mentor on the program, so from one of the hiring managers. We have a personality and cultural fit before we even start training because they've worked that out too. And then we've also socially impacted by training and upskilling veterans in our workforce, and we've already tested. So in terms of then they get a candidate pool that they have no obligation to hire. But the important fact is that once you test someone in your workplace and the sort of caliber that veterans are, you go, wow, how can I get more of them? And how can we build this going forward?
And that also lowers the risk for the employer when hiring people, which, believe me, is very important. Let me just remind listeners, you're listening to the business podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce. AmCham is the oldest, largest, most prestigious international chamber of commerce in Australia. You join AmCham and you'll be meeting Prime Minister of Australia, U.S. presidents, CEOs, too many to mention, and then you'll also meet really cool people like the guy I'm talking to right now, Tom Moore, Managing Director of With You With Me, an organization that is developing, harnessing the power of veterans. Tom, let me ask you, what is the government doing and what do they need to do to assist veterans who are returning to the workforce?
So I think the positive reaction from the government is for the Prime Minister to launch his Veterans Employment Program, which is a focus on asking the question to industry. That's probably one of the best things they've got. They've got a system that integrates an income support system, which is also good, but I think it's probably still needs a bit of work. What do they need? I don't really think that they can do any more with the current sort of market in Australia and the current sort of process industry. The budget in terms of Veterans Affairs is probably quite bloated and they need to reduce it. I find that the key approach long-term for them is probably even subsidising employers in industry to train veterans in their workforce as they transition. I don't know when that will occur. I think the conversation will be industry leading and making a decision and a solution and identifying this is how we've actually proven a return on investment and this works and having their buy-in. That probably needs to be improved, and hopefully that's what we see out of the Prime Minister's Industry Advisory Committee, which is advising the Prime Minister on what industry needs and where they want. So, but my problem is that they need an actionable plan. They need actionable programs that are localised, because the problem that a veteran faces in transitioning to Townsville is different to Sydney due to labour market. And that's where the question needs to be.
All right, let me press you on this point about how translatable veterans' experiences? I mean, obviously, somebody coming out of the military, they could get a job, an easy fit, say, in defense or security, or even mercenaries for that matter. Mm. But what about a normal blue chip corporate company? How easily do they make the transition there?
I think they're highly translatable across a number of pathways. We've got about 65 and counting, and we've built a machine learning algorithm that adds them as mentors come on board, because we didn't even know that was a job that a veteran's done, but we've built it backwards. But let me give you in terms of an example. Now, I've been told, I guess, time and time again that a military member on transition can't do change management. Your basic combat structure is a 100-man infantry company. So think of it, a 100-person business department. If you integrated a new IT session for that 100-person business department, especially if it was your sales team and it was a CRM, that would be a complete change process. They'd bring in a change consultant, they'd bring in the project manager, and they'd implement it over time, and it'd take 3 to 6 months. We get a new company commander who has a whole new policy, a whole new standard operating procedures every year. So that means that the influencers, the change managers is the company 2IC, so an infantry captain or a junior officer, he will implement the change with the senior warrant officer, so the company sergeant major, the senior soldier, for that whole company every 12 months. And the issue is, and people go to me, that doesn't have a bottom line effect. Well, it does, because if they don't implement the new policy, procedures, and process quick enough, it means that we're not as effective on the battlefield. It means that we're not as fast on the battlefield. It means that we might be, our logistics are poor. The way we're doing business is costing the government more money because we're not thinking about it smart. So I think in terms of we are highly transferable. And the question should be is one, how does your experience translate in teaching the veteran how to actually deliver that, one in an interview, but also on a day-to-day basis? Because that's something that we don't know. Well, revenue means this and, you know, cost reduction means that. But two, why don't we want more people that do unusual change management and not just IT change management? Because at the end of the day, the change management stuff is, it's pretty much the same. You could do a change management IT project to a human resource project. It's the same process, the methodology. What I'm saying is they've done that too, and that wasn't even their main job. So I think, yes, they are highly transferable. There are a select number of careers that they're very translatable and transferable at, and they're very competitive for. But it's really just showing a company, what does that look like and how they can integrate them to reduce their risk? And two, when the veteran gets in the interview, not say, well, I've never done it before. Actually say, when I was a commander of a 100-person business, you know, a business unit, our model for training was $15 million a quarter. We had to cut that down to $12 million, and we did this by an internal change integration process to focus on training and applying a principle that is relatable to industry.
All right. Now, speaking of examples, now, who gets it? What companies out there have understood your message? They're hiring veterans. They're experiencing success with them. Can you flesh that out for me?
So what's interesting is that two of the leading recruitment companies get it in terms of sales and resilience. So Randstad and Allegis Group have jumped both on board to hire veterans into their recruitment teams. Soldiers upskilling them via Salesforce.com and getting them into training. Salesforce Stryker, in terms of the American, get it completely.
Stryker is the orthopedic
correct.
Device
yeah.
company.
So the big US company that does medical supplies and orthopedic mm-hmm. surgery, they get it, and we've got programs at those organizations. The Australian businesses that are starting to get it are Mirvac, Charter Hall, property, construction companies, and other tech companies like SAP and all that sort of stuff that have had proven military integration understand it. But no one in Australia is probably giving them a solution rather than accelerated interviews, which doesn't really make sense. I think more people will get it as the message grows. I think more people will understand it if I give it, you know, if someone hands you a solution rather than just, you know, what are we going to do with this person? Let's talk about, well, they can do this, and then connect those two together. But I've found that American companies that have got validated veteran recruiting programs and they've worked out, it's not just an outreach thing, is, wow, these are some quality people, jump on board straight away, because there's nothing like that in Australia yet. And two, Australian companies that are forward thinking, that are already integrated into communities, construction companies, for example, also get it. And they find that project managers that are military are very good, very affordable, and tend to not, one, blow out budgets as much as everyone else, but care more about the business and the business succeeding than just the individual. So we've had some really good wins in those areas.
Okay. Tell our listeners, how can they get in touch with you? How can they learn more about the possibility of hiring veterans?
In terms of if you want to use the service as a mentee, you can register on our portfolio. If you're a company, we also have an icon. You can reach out to me via LinkedIn, but also register on the platform as a company, and we'll get in touch with you to help you develop a solution.
And the website is?
Withyouwithme.com.au, yeah. We also are running Leading Forward Defence Talent Forums. So we ran our first one last night, which was great. And what that conversation really is one, connecting military members to job opportunities, but two, how you can employ military members in your workforce and your workforce structure and how you should workforce plan for that integration.
Is there one particular takeaway you'd like to leave with our listeners?
I would empower American and Australian employers to look at ways that you can transfer and translate untapped military talent into your workforce. I think the conversation should be not let's give them a hand, it should be how can they help us with what they've got and how can we equate that to a labour outcome or a revenue outcome for a company. And yeah. I think the conversation will change.
Yeah, I just want to underscore that you're not doing them a favor. If you hire a veteran, you're doing yourself a favor by tapping that expertise. You've been listening to the Business Podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce in Australia. Our guest today has been Tom Moore, Managing Director of With You, With Me, the company that harnesses the power of veterans for your company's benefit. We value your opinion. If you're listening to us through iTunes, you can easily hit the subscribe button, leave a review, make a comment, all of which are very appreciated. We want to know what you want to know. What are the issues, the topics, the people that are of interest to you? Just email us, podcast@amcham.com.au. In fact, you can listen to all the podcasts on the website, amcham.com.au. And a special thanks to Twitter Australia. We're coming at you live and in 3D from Twitter Australia's offices today. We want to thank them for hosting us and also for being a member of the American Chamber of Commerce in Australia. This is AmCham, bringing business to you. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Business Podcast of the American Chamber of Commerce in Australia. AmCham has an extensive list of live events throughout Australia. To learn more about our event program and learn how you can access even more opportunities through membership, please visit our website at amcham.com.au. AmCham, bringing business to you.